great to see you here. God is so good to us. He's good all the time. And I am so delighted to be a child of God. And Jean and I are just over there and fellowshipping around God's holy word and helping each other to grow strong in the Lord. And sometimes when you get a little bit older, you know, you sort of want to just kind of relax and take it easy. But I like to be busy. I like to keep on doing something for the Lord, because I'm in the fourth quarter of my life. And if you're around my age, you are too. And a lot of games are won in the fourth quarter, by the way. If you watch football games, a lot of good things are happen to Christians in the latter part of their life. Now, let's say, for example, you maybe retire at the age of 60 or even 65. You could live another 10, 15 years. And so I think, this is not my sermon, but I'm just talking about this. We need to be busy serving God as long as we're able to do so. Keep on going. And, you know, and keep on going until God calls you home or the Lord comes. So I like to try to be busy. But God is great and God is good, and I'm glad to be part of Grace Baptist Church. I didn't think I'd be back here, but that's what God had in mind, so here we are. And do you ever have other plans? I had other plans. I really did. I had other plans, but God wanted me to be here for a reason, for a purpose. And so here I am, and I want to be content with that. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 22. I was scrambling around and going, well, what can I do? I mean, what can I do? What can I do? So I kind of dug down, you know, every pastor has what they call, they used to call like a sermon barrel. You know, so you kind of dig around there and try to find the sermon you had before, because you're not going to get something new when you get the call. And so Matthew chapter 22, and talk about encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. And I don't know who you are, I know who you are, but I don't know where you are. I do know who you are. I know who you are. But I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. But God does, and everyone needs encouragement. And we need to be encouragers, encourage others. And I'm praying that the Lord will help Jeannie and I to be encouragers and to do that and to have a ministry of encouragement. And that's what we're praying about and getting involved in and trying to do. So, well, let's pray before we start. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be a Christian. And none of us does. All we deserve is hell. But in your wonderful love, amazing grace, you gave your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And one day, we were convicted of our sins. And by the Holy Spirit, and drawn to the Savior, and we asked Him to save us from our sins, and became a child of God. And that's all because of your marvelous, marvelous grace. We can't take credit for that. We can't take credit for anything. All that we are, all that we have, all that we do for you is because of your marvelous grace. Help us today as we look at your holy word and speak to our hearts from the word of God. And help me as I give out the word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of always like the sea scenes in the Bible. You know, the sea. And I love to be on the water. I lived by Lake Superior for 18 years of my life. And then I was, mentioned before, I was on the ocean for 18 months. And I kind of love the water. But the water can be scary sometimes, amen? You get out and a storm comes up and the waves are high and you're thinking, oh my, and rolling and all this. You're in the boat in the ship. I remember on our ship there was such a huge storm like a hurricane came on through. And the waves are coming over and the boat's like, whoop, whoop, like this, and you had to have a rope. If you walked on board, you'd be washed overboard. So there was a rope tied there, and you had to hang on to that rope to get from one place to the other. Now you would have just been washed overboard and drowned. It was kind of scary, thinking, wow, never saw this before, never had this happen before. And so, talking about some encouragements for the storms of life. We said something in our Sunday school class about James calling all joy and have a lot of trouble. Talked a little bit about storms. And you may not be in a storm right now, maybe you are. But here's something I know for sure. There's one right around the corner. I'm talking about storms, I'm talking about problems, I'm talking about difficulty. You may be in one now. You may have just come out of one. You may be in the one now. And pretty soon you're hoping to get to the other end of that, but there'll be something else will come up maybe tomorrow. That's the way life is. That's the way life is. And so everyone has problems. Some people have more problems than others. Some people have health problems. Some people have other problems. Some people have problems with their children. Some people have problems at their job. Some people have financial problems. And there are some people that are afraid of things, afraid of dying. The biggest fear, by the way, is the fear of public speaking. Did you know that? The number one fear. So let's go home. No, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, really, what are you going through right now? And what is God trying to teach you? What does He want you to learn? And so we see in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew 14, I'm sorry, Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I found it. Look at verse 22. And it's just after the feeding of the 5,000. And they all ate, you know, and everything like that. In verse 20, it said they all ate and were filled, took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Of course, 12 disciples. They all had something to eat. Take out food, I love that. They had something to take with them. And now those that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made a disciple get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I like that word, contrary. My mother said I was kind of contrary sometimes. Anyway, it's a good word. But, you know, the waves are contrary. I mean, you have the wave is going this way, the wave is going that way. And the boat is tossed. So now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Ah, the ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Well, if you're going through a storm of life, remember that He brought you there. He brought me here in the storm. I'm not sure what kind of storm you're going through now. But I do know this for sure. I do know this for sure. It was tailor-made for you by the hand of God. Nothing passes into our life unless it passes through the loving hands of our Savior. And I don't like trouble. I mean, I don't know who does. I don't like health problems. I don't like trouble, any kind of trouble. Who does? No one votes for it. But when you're going through a storm, God will be there to encourage you. And some have storms because they disobey God. Some have storms because they obey. Storms of correction, storms of perfection. We said something about that in their class. Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing. Lord, I'm trying to do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Why do I have this problem? Why does this happen to me? Come on, give me a break. And so after the feeding of 5,000, he gave them a storm just to kind of balance things out. You know, just think of that. Just think if you were there. All of a sudden, you got the loaves, the fishes. Wow. Everyone had something to eat. They all ate. That's a miracle. 12 baskets left over. They took it up, take home food. They witnessed that miracle, and now, to balance the miracle out so they won't get the fat head, the big head, to have too much pride, God sent them a storm. After they shared in that miracle, I don't think you should ever be afraid of the storm. Sometimes God sends a storm to keep us from sinning. Sometimes they wanted to make Jesus a king. They didn't know. They didn't understand the whole thing. Hey, you'll be our new king now. That'll be great. And they had a lot of pride. Anybody here today doesn't have any pride? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Nobody. God sends us trouble. I'll tell you why. He wants us to be humble before him. And so he sent them a storm to balance the miracle. They were proud. And so by faith he brought them to the storm. You balance the blessings with the burdens. You can think about Paul, caught up in the heaven, remember that? Then he had the thorn in the flesh. Yeah, actually, he only had it for 14 years. I mean, it's not very long, is it? 14 years? He cried, he begged God 3 times, take it away. And God gave him that thorn. He saw things he couldn't even talk about to anybody. But the thorn came to him. God allowed Satan to give it to him to keep him humble. So he brought me here. And we have to remember that whenever we have a problem, just keep this in mind. God wants you to learn something at this present time. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry. Don't complain. Just say, okay, Lord, you brought me here. And so you balance the blessings with the burdens. And then I like the next thing. It's from God, the storm. Then he's praying for me. If you look at verse 23, Matthew 14, 23. When he was sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. See, the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. So, number two, he's praying for me. I like that in Hebrews. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, it's kind of, when you think about this, it really encourages me that Jesus is praying for me. And Jesus is praying for you. You ever stop and think about that? You pray, you ask God for something, and Jesus takes your prayer to God the Father on your behalf. That is so amazing. Wow. So amazing. I don't know if anybody watched the inauguration. I was watching that. It was kind of impressive. And all the pomp and ceremony and all the things that go on with that. And so I was thinking, wow, got these dignitaries, they got all this stuff happening, people showing up that are important. But just remember this, Just remember this, never forget it. You have God who loves you, Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, and you can go to Him anytime. Anytime. Boom! There you are. Pray, 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 and then pray some more. And pray some more, and then pray some more, and pray some more, and pray some more, and keep on praying. Never stop. Keep doing it. He ever lived to make intercession for us, but we're supposed to pray without ceasing. In other words, it means you can't pray without ceasing. That's impossible. But always have the attitude of prayer, that you're ready and willing to pray, no matter what happens. So He's praying for me. They're out there in that. They're out there in the sea. Verse 24. The boat was being tossed to and fro, back and forth, up and down, and He was praying for them up on the mountain, looking there. It talks about it. Talks about it in Mark. We want to turn there. He saw them down there in the sea. He knew what was going on. He knew they're having a problem. He could see it. And God knows your problem too, and my problem. I like that. That's great. He sees what you're going through, and Jesus is praying for you. Wow. That is so encouraging. Right now He's praying for you. And He sees you. He knows you're going through. Maybe you laid in the hospital bed. Perhaps you went through surgery. Perhaps you're battling something else. Whatever it might be. He knows what's going on. He can see you there. He can see you. He can see you. You're being tossed to and fro. You have all this trouble. I was talking to Jeannie and I were talking to this lady not too long ago. I wanted to give her the gospel, but she talked about some of her problems. And she said, what's your problem? She said, well, a lot of things going on right now. And she told some of the things that are going on. I mean, really difficult things. Very young. A lost soul. And I said to her, you know what I do when I have trouble? I pray. And God helps me make it through, help me make it through, help me make it through, helps me make it through. And she's a lost soul. I said, you need that. You know what you could do is ask the Lord to save you from your sins. And then when He does, your troubles aren't not going to all go away for sure. But He's going to help you make it through. Amen? He'll help you make it through. And she didn't accept the Lord, but she's thinking about it. And it was family problems. And I said to her, family problems are the worst kind. Absolute worst. Trying to have family trouble. It could be with your parents. Could be with your children. Could be with an uncle or aunt. Could be your in-laws. Whatever. Family problems is what this woman had, and they are the worst kind. In my opinion, family problems are the worst. So, praying for you. He sees what you're going through. He knows all about it. He knows the trouble you have. And then it said also, He will come to me. He will come to me. I like that. Look at verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Wow. He shows up. He comes on the very problem they're having. Walking on the sea, the waves. Is that the problem? You have some waves, yeah. Boat going back and forth. They thought they were going to die. Yeah, they were afraid. You know, these are rough fishermen, by the way. Been in storms before. They are scared to death. Here comes the Savior. Here comes Jesus. I love that. Walking on the water. Walking on the same thing that has caused them to be afraid. Here He comes. Wow. He's always there for you, too. He's always there for you. He's always there for you. And when you're having a hard time, laying there, racked with pain, you don't know what to do, can't sleep at night, and many people have problems like that where they cry out to God. He knows what you're going through. And so he will come to me. Sometimes you feel like you're deserted. Israelites did. Paul did. What did Jesus say? Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. He'll be the same tomorrow as he is today. He's gonna take care of you today, he'll take care of you tomorrow. That's why you're not supposed to worry, by the way. Tomorrow belongs to God. This is the day you have enough trouble today for you to handle. Forget about yesterday, you can't do anything about that. Trust God today and trust him for tomorrow, because he knows what's going to happen. And tomorrow he'll take care of you. So, he comes to you, came to Paul, came to the Israelites, and he came to them on the very thing that was scaring them. The waves. They didn't recognize him. Verse 26. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. It's a spirit, it's a ghost. They cried out for fear. By the way, these guys aren't wimpy. These are rough fishermen. They've been in a storm before. Some of these guys made a living fishing. They've been in the sea before. These were not wimps, by the way. But they were afraid. Came to them, the very thing that was scaring them the waves. They didn't recognize him when he came. I kind of like that story about Peter in prison. You know that story? They've already killed James, right? He chopped John's head off. Now they locked Peter up. You're next, Peter! You're going to die, man. The people all in the prayer meeting praying. Remember that story? Angel comes in. I always like to do it this way. I just love to see that scene. Use your imagination. He's locked up. Got four guards there. Angel came in. Peter's there. And by the way, you know what Peter was doing? He was sleeping. There's a man who had faith. Angel shows up. Yeah! Smacks him on. Smacks him on. Wake up, Peter. We're getting out of here, man. All the gates open up. They walk out through the doors. And at the prayer meeting, they're all praying, oh, Lord. Please release Peter. He already killed James. He killed John. Lord, please. Wringing their hands, praying. Rhoda, that was the name, I believe. Peter came to the door. Knocking. She went back and said, Peter's out there. No, no, you're seeing things. You don't know what you're talking about. They won't let him in. Finally, they're praying he'd be released from prison. He's knocking at the door. I'm like, come on, man. Don't you believe God can do something? They didn't have enough faith. And so, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will come to you. You say it hasn't come yet. Well, you will. When you're through the storm, in the storm, he brought me here. He's praying for me. And he'll come to you. He wants to come to you in different ways so you trust him. Amen? It doesn't always work the same way. He wants you to trust him and not the circumstances. I maybe told you this before. I had a rich uncle. And everyone liked to have a rich uncle. I'm thinking, oh man, Uncle Larry. He's rich. He's going to help me out. Hey, Larry. Hello, Larry. This is your nephew, Dan. Forget it, man. You're getting nothing. I mean, really, who do you depend on? Who do you trust in? God. Trust in God. Well, he comes to you in different ways so you can trust him and not the circumstances. Depend on him and not the circumstances. Then he will help you grow. And watching the time here. So, you know, God wants us to grow. Every problem that you have and I have is a faith problem. I tell you why I'm saying that. You just don't trust God enough. You just don't believe God can take care of you. Remember that verse in James? The man believed God, he didn't believe God. You know, it talks about the way he'd been tossed to and fro. I trust God, I don't trust God. I believe he'll take care of me, I don't think he'll take care of me. You know what it says about that guy? You'll never receive anything from God. No. He's a doubter. He's a doubter. Maybe we should turn to that. James, chapter 1. It says, verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For you, doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he receive anything from the Lord. Wow. Oh man, I don't know if I can take care of this. Wow. Man, it looks pretty bad. I don't think it's gonna. What's gonna happen now? I don't know what's gonna happen. Believe that God can do anything. He can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. He wants our faith to increase. Saved by faith, walk by faith, just to live by faith. According to your faith be it unto you. People are sick. Trust God. Church needs help. Trust God. According to your faith be it unto you. Christian life doesn't just begin with faith, it continues with faith. And every one of my problems, every one of your problems in your life is a faith problem. You just don't believe that the all-powerful God is able to take care of you. That's why worry is a sin, by the way. Doubting God. We've all been there. Doubting God. The all-powerful God. All I did was say that, spoke the word. I always like to look at the stars sometimes at night. And I like what someone said. If you knew the stars only come out one time in your life, once in your lifetime, you'd probably stay up all night watching them. Ah, so beautiful. So amazing that our pastor talked about some of that, how big they are and all that. We keep on finding new galaxies all the time. That's good. Let there be light. Sun, moon, stars, there it is, all of it. That's the God, that's our God that we're talking to. That's our God that we have faith in. He can do anything. He wants our faith to grow. He wants to stretch your faith. We've got to get our stretching our faith muscles. I was talking to our son Paul. He had this brain trauma thing, and he'd been off work for, I think, about 6 months now. got to be off another 2 months. And is he being tested by the Lord? Yes, he is. Is his faith growing? Yes, it is somewhat. Does he have bad days where he wants to give up? Yes, he does. Just sitting around, can't read a book, can't do this, can't do that, can't go to church. He hasn't been to church for 5 or 6 months. Because he can't go to when there's a crowd. Just think of it. That is difficult to go through. You know, I love people. So I just love to see people. I love to see a person every day. Of course, I see my wife every day, but I mean, I just love people. More fun than a barrel full of people. They're stuck in his house, and sometimes people come to see him. But God is helping him to grow, and he's learning to become more Christ-like through it all. And when they told him he got 2 more months to go, I think he'd been off 4 months, I think he got 2 more months to go before he can go back to work. He wasn't very happy, I'll tell you that. But he's trusting God. According to your faith, be it unto you. Every problem in the church is a faith problem. Every problem in your marriage is a faith problem. Jesus said he could do no mighty work in that one city he went to because of their unbelief, and he marveled at their unbelief. The reason God puts us through storms is to help us grow in our faith. Mark it down. Write it down. Have a pen. Put it on your hard drive. When you have trouble, God wants you to grow in your faith. I don't vote for it myself. No one does. Lord, give me a lot of trouble. Come on. I'm ready. Throw it. Give it to me. Pile it on. No, that's not enough, Lord. Give me some more. No, I need more than that. No. What we say is, Lord, get me out of here. Lord, please take this away. He wants us to grow in our faith. And I'm not actually sure when you're supposed to stop here. But, you know, there's another scene there when Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. Is it you, Lord? It's you, I'll come to you. The other disciples stayed in the boat. There's only one person that got out, and that was Peter. My man. I love Peter. He's the guy with the foot-shaped mouth, Peter. He would say things that were... I'm kind of like that myself sometimes. But Peter's the only one who got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. Start walking. Say, you, Lord, I'll come to you. And then he was looking at Jesus, and he kept going. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked down. Oh, man, there's water here. This is water. Kind of looked back, and those guys are in the boat. And when he did that, he started to sink. And here's the bottom line. When you take your eyes off the Lord, you'll sink every single time. And when you look at the circumstance, to take your eyes off the Lord, look at the circumstance, you're going down. But when you keep your eyes on the Savior, you're going to make it. So he started to sink. I love that prayer, the shortest prayer in the Bible. He looked at the waves, stopped looking at Jesus, looked at the circumstances, and he sunk. He started sinking. And he said, Lord, help me. Shortest prayer in the Bible. Poof! Anyway, Jesus grabbed him. Now, I don't know about you, that I need that. I need a lesson like that every day of my life. Lord, stretch my faith. Lord, help me to trust you more. Less of myself, more of you. Help me to become more like the Jesus, less like me. Help me to get strong in the faith, strong in the faith, strong in the faith, strong in the faith. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter what happens. You know, sometimes, you ever get a phone call, it got kind of a nervous ring to it? Like 3 o'clock in the morning? Oh, I hate those kind of calls. And you pick it up. What? No? Really? When? Who? Where? That happens, by the way. Probably happened to you many times. It happened to me. Bad news. That's when you have faith. You need to have faith in God. Keep on trusting Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can never thank you enough for all that you've done for us. You've been so great and so wonderful, so good and so kind. You're good all the time. We don't deserve anything, but you keep on blessing us and pouring your grace upon us. The windows are open. You're blessing us all the time. Help us, Lord, to be grateful, to have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful. Help us to learn the lessons you want us to learn. We pray for the pastor that he would get better, and for the rest of the family. A lot of people are sick, and we think of I believe it was Karen's husband that's sick, and we think of Nathan and Paul. A lot of people in our church have problems, and they're sick, and all this flu going around, pneumonia and bronchitis. Help them, Lord, and just continue to bless our church, to raise up the pastor. Help him to learn the lessons you're trying to teach him, because we all have lessons to learn from you, Lord. We thank you. May our faith be stretched. May our faith get stronger and stronger every day and trust you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.